When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Sick of procurement bottlenecks, endless back and forth, and last-minute surprises? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify and automate their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement. You'll know whether spend is approved before you buy, and Bill's AI-powered automation helps reduce errors so you can make purchasing decisions with confidence. Plus, Bill Procurement puts everything you need to match and pay invoices right at your fingertips. So dump your clunky procurement process and keep your business moving and growing with Bill Procurement. Purchase, pay, and on with your day. Right now, score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Just go to bill.com/procurement200. Don't wait. That's bill.com/procurement200. Sick of procurement bottlenecks? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement, so your business keeps moving and growing. Score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Go to bill.com/procurement200. bill.com/procurement200.
Hey folks, Dan Frio here with your update for today. This might be my only video for the closing bell because it is a dismal day out there. But we're going to talk about in today's videos what my expectations are for mortgage rates in 2025. Now, today and the last couple days has been crazy. I'm going to show you what happened in today's market. But the biggest culprit a lot of these things is right through here. I'm going to show you... let's get over to it in one second. Let me get to this. I had everything structured on another system that I was using, and then all of a sudden I lost my channel. So let me go in here real quick for you guys one second and add in my secondary channel so you guys can see my second screen and we can get to it. So what we want to go over today is this thing right here. And I know you guys, the funny thing is a lot of people have been saying, Dan, you've been adamant about this student loan thing. And, they were harping at me about, the student loan forgiveness program where I didn't want it because it affects these things over here. And I'm still at that proposal. I'm still that way. So I apologize if you don't like some of the comments I make because of my feelings about the student loan debt. My apologies. I just don't think that the student loan forgiveness program was substantial enough to really throw over to this national debt because it's high enough as it is. But what we want to talk about today is I've been adamant about this for a long, long time, and I've been taking a lot of grief about it. But unfortunately, so has Federal Chairman Powell. He's been coming out for years saying we can't sustain the debt levels we see. Because these levels, it's not like we were here, these just got here, yesterday. This debt has been climbing over time. And since the pandemic, it's went out of control. So at some point, something needs to be done about this. But I want to give you guys the facts and the information that you can actually count on, because mainstream media, they just don't, I don't think they do us a justice on the information that they're giving us, because they just don't, they're just not honest. I'll just say it that way. There was two interviews over the weekend with Secretary Bessent, and they were just putting words in his mouth, and he was like, no, that wasn't our administration. No, that wasn't in this, even one of the comments about Walmart, they were saying, well, Walmart said that they're going to increase all their prices because of tariffs only. And the guy said, Bennett says, he's like, well, the president and CEO is a buddy of mine. I talked to him on Friday or Sunday, and he actually mentioned that in an annual report that he's legally liable to say that in. But he didn't really say we're going to increase prices ever. But it was, you understand what I'm saying there. But this is the section of the equation that's really out of control. And again, Federal Chairman Powell says the same thing. Here's the national debt. Okay, so over time, all the way up until 2002 or so, things weren't so bad. And then 2008 to the 2010 crash, a lot of money pumped into the system because of the subprime mortgage just debacle. And then you have go through here, and then all of a sudden what do you have is you have COVID, and this thing just skyrocketed almost straight up in the air. So that's what you're seeing over the last, you can see it right through here. So where was the deficit, say, in 2018? Well, let's go up through here. It was about 20 or 600 over here, whatever this means, 600 over here. And where is it today? It's all the way up to 1.1. So it's almost doubled over the last, I don't know, what is that? 5, 6, 7 years. So we're not on a healthy trajectory there. And then the other thing I want to talk about is tariffs. Okay, so we're going to talk about both of these. We're going to unpack tariffs first, and then we're also going to talk about the new beautiful tax bill, and that's how we have to reference it, because if you don't reference it that way, the systems don't know how to find it. So let's get over to it. The first thing I want to talk to you guys about is how much are tariffs going to increase inflation? So if you're watching this video, you're most likely looking to buy or refinance a house, or you want to know about economics. So what I'm going to teach you today or show you today is just basically what the definitions of a lot of things are. And then we're going to dive into the data. And what I use is ChatGPT. And here's what I wrote up at the top. Just so you guys know, I'm not trying to pre-feed this thing with data that it gives me what I want it to hear. But let's go over here. It says, how much are tariffs expected to add to inflation? And then the second piece of that question is, how much in revenue is expected from the tariffs? Well, both the answers to both these questions should be, we don't know. But there has to be an analysis done to say, okay, what could happen? And that's where we're going to look at what could happen behind all these. So the inflationary path on this, it's saying that this could push up the inflation numbers an additional 2.25%. It could, and it says that right through here. Will it? We don't know. Okay, so that's what we're looking at there. So we have inflation right now at about 2.25. So if this comes back with this, we'll have inflation back to 5%, and the Federal Reserve's not going to allow that. Okay, so then let's go down through here. The offset of the tariffs being put on that's going to cause inflation and prices to go up is right through here. Maybe, just maybe, this could cut our national deficit. So why do we have inflation the way we have it? Well, let's go back to here, and I'm going to show you this chart real quick, and hopefully I don't lose myself. So during this time frame, 2010 to basically where we are today, the world's been in shambles. Well, except for this little time frame from here, and that's when we should have kind of cured a lot of the stuff that we had behind the scenes, but it was euphoria still. But we had right through here, the reason why all this pumped in, all this debt pumped into the system, because the government was trying to hold off the basically the world crashing during the huge economic collapse in 2008. Okay, so then from 2008 on, wasn't so bad until COVID hit. And then COVID hit, what happened? And then this thing just went skyrocketing. Okay, and they kept pumping money into the system. And even the government at this time says, we might have overdone it a little bit. So when you have this much money pumping into the system, you're going to have inflation. Okay, and I called it back then, and I'm calling it now, and I don't know what this tariff stuff's going to do to it, and that's why I'm digging into this information as well. So we have money coming in from tariffs that we don't know how much it's going to be, but it could be substantial. A 10% tariff could bring in $2.2 trillion. $2.2 trillion. 15, 2.9. 20, 3.4. So do we want these? Not really, because it is going to add money or cost to the things we buy. However, it's going to also bring in a lot of money that we weren't expecting that could bring down our national debt. So our national debt is one of the things that's keeping yields and everything else higher at this time. So what we want to do next is let's get over to the next piece of the puzzle. Now we know a little bit about tariffs, or we kind of know a little bit about tariffs. How much are they going to be? Don't know. So how can I answer a question how inflationary they're going to be? How high are they going to be in bringing in revenue? Don't know, because we don't know about them yet. So the markets right now are just kind of estimating or predicting or forecasting what might happen. Okay, so that's what we're seeing on that piece of the puzzle. Now let's go over to the other side of the equation. And I had to put in this because I keep hearing, the same thing as you guys keep hearing, is this new tax bill is going to just drive up inflation crazy. Well, I wanted to know what is in this tax bill. I'm not going to read 1,100 pages. It's not, it's a fraction of what most of those legislation proposals come in at. But so I put in here, I said, list the top 10 items that mostly stand out of the big, beautiful tax bill. All right, here's what it's telling me. And I'll show you the areas that, people are completely upset about. But there's a lot of areas in here that they're like, have you heard that your Social Security is going to be cut? It's not in this bill. I looked it up. I even Googled it and chatted it. So I'll check that in here. So there are areas that are getting cut. Let's get over to them. Okay, they're putting in the tax cuts from 2027 or 2017. They're going to make permanent. So they've been in effect for, 8 years now? And, okay, we'll say, okay, just keep them in place. But here's what's going to help me and you. Tax exemptions on tips and overtime. Do you make tips? Do you make overtime? You pay taxes on it? Well, you're not going to pay taxes on that anymore. So how much is that going to help you? Okay, so then on another side of the equation, a lot of people are saying, okay, now you're going to have all these tax deductions for the rich. Well, I did a video last night and showed you, real estate taxes in New York, New Jersey, Chicago, California, all over the country. It's not hard to get a real estate tax bill over 10 grand. And that's what they're trying to do right now. They're trying to say, okay, let's increase the SALT deductions from 10,000 to 30,000. And people, posted in my video last night, Dan, that part of your real estate taxes are not a part of SALT. And unfortunately, they are. And I can show it to you right there. I just Googled that as well. So that's that part of it. Let's keep going down through. Mega savings account. So if you have a child during President Trump's administration, you're going to get a $1,000 government credit because of that child. So these are all, I'm saying, positive for all of us. Okay, so now let's get down to here. The reduction of the EV and clean energy incentives. Don't know enough about them to talk about them. And basically he's reducing or reduction of these. So we'll see how that goes. Significant cuts in social programs. Now, this is where everybody hangs their hat when it comes to you can't do anything because you're going to hurt the elderly, the children, and the disabled. So what this is saying basically is there's going to be cuts, and there's probably going to be a lot of people that are devastated with this, but there's probably a lot of people that don't deserve any of this money that's taking it, and they're the ones ruining it for all of us. How about the 100,000 people that are over 100 years old getting Social Security checks? If that doesn't piss you off, I don't know what should. So that is millions and billions of dollars over time getting spent. So don't go away, folks. I will be answering your questions in a minute. If you agree with me or disagree with me, it doesn't matter. I'm here to answer and talk to you no matter what. Okay, so we're going to talk about that a little bit briefly, but that's what they're looking at there. Enhanced defense and border security, $150 billion. It's kind of excessive, and we'll see how that goes because they just announced today some global or an international space thing that they're going to protect us with. So that's that part of it. Now, the educational policy changes, all right? What they're trying to do here is I'm doing more and more research on here. They're trying to push more and more, let's say, students from going to universities for no reason at all. How many students out there, or your children or nephews or whomever, went to college, spent $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 and got out and said, boy, that was a waste. Okay, but then they didn't want to pay the bill back. And so I don't want to foot the bill for those people. But a lot of people will be devastated by this. But what they're trying to do is, if you look at this, they're trying to push more Pell Grants, introduction to workforce Pell Grants as well, trade schools and things like that. That's what they're trying to do. They're saying, okay, our economy, we don't have much. If you're unskilled labor, you're going to get an unskilled labor price. So go to a trade school, maybe be an engineer, electronics, and get an electronics. Automotive, HVAC, there's a ton of work out there for those people, and it pays good money. Universities are failing us, folks, and I'll skip over that piece of the puzzle. And then projection increase in the federal deficit, again, they don't know. They don't know on these things. So a lot of the things that come out, everybody's just guessing and throwing their worst foot forward. And, you know, if you're against Trump, they're going to throw everything negative against it. And if you're for Trump, they're going to throw in everything positive against it. I'm going to call out things where I think it's due. You know, some of these things are going to hurt people. You know, the SNAP program's going to hurt a lot of people from the areas I grew up in. You know, there's a lot of people on the SNAP programs. There might be a lot of people that are on there that shouldn't be on there. If you're able to work, you should get out there and start working. So that's that piece of it. Now, what I want to do next is I want to get over to why rates aren't going to get to 6% or even 5% anytime soon. But let's get over to some of the questions that we have out here so I can answer those for you. And I apologize, folks. I was on this at 3 o'clock. I did it for about a half hour and realized I wasn't even live. So that's why I rescheduled for 3:30. So I apologize about that. Let's get to your questions because you're kind enough to join me here. Rates will go down in the fall for sure. They will have to. We are at the bottom now. I hope you're right. And what I'm thinking right now, don't be surprised if tomorrow the bond market, you know, rises 50 points. And that's how it's been. So I've been trying not to freak out because I'm trying to educate myself on what is really the economic news out there. So please, I appreciate you coming here and joining me and actually contributing. So thanks a lot. If you guys are out here watching, please let me know at least where you're coming from. Give me a thumbs up if you can hear me well. Just participate a little bit. I'd appreciate it. Question, how is me paying more going to help me pay less? How is paying more for things? I get it. Okay, so let's equate that. I'm going to transfer it back kind of to what the comeback of a lot of people have been on this transaction. You're going to pay more. Well, yeah, you're going to pay more. Okay, how much? We don't know. Okay, but in the tax incentives, let's just say this. You probably drive back and forth to work every day. Gas prices went from, let's say, $3-$4 a gallon to $2. That's probably helping out your pay. Energy prices, natural gas plummeting. So hopefully your gas bill's coming down. A lot of the stuff that gets transported from one place to another runs by fuel as well. So if the fuel prices come down, then also on your taxes. Let's say, for example, you get a tax break. You might be you're a coach, so you probably get a lot of overtime. Is that money being taxed? Okay, maybe, maybe not. Okay, so these are the areas that we focus in on, is that. So how this is all going to play out, I don't know. But what I'm trying to just explain to everybody is how this kind of is playing a role in rates right now, but nobody knows really anything that's going on. We don't know what the tariff rates are going to be. We don't know when they're going to be activated. We don't know what the tax bill is going to end up as, but everybody's just speculating, and I can't argue speculation. I can only just give you my comments. So, Coach, I appreciate you coming on and asking. I think you got more questions, so let's go at it. Market Watch says Medicare is being cut to $500 billion. So you lying and making up stuff. Okay, I didn't say they didn't cut. Let's go back to it. Let's go back to where I'm lying to you. So let's get back. Significant cuts in social programs. We have $700 billion in Medicaid. We have $267 billion in SNAP programs. But I'll ask you this. Is there any fraud in the system? Here's what I don't understand. And Coach, you're more than welcome to call me if you like. We can even debate this over the phone if you want. There's people on both spectrums of this equation. I get what you're talking about, but there's a lot of fraud and abuse. So if you go and you just go to Doge.com, I was amazed. And a lot of people are just saying they're completely Trump haters. I get it. You know, he's egotistical and everything else, but he's our leader. So what we try to have to do is kind of figure this out. But you have more questions here, so let's go and see what else I lied about. The Golden Globe. Okay. And let's see. Sister-in-law teacher in 80K. Yeah, it was a way. Sister-in-law teacher, 80K a year. 80K. But I'm with you. Could she have gone to a trade school? Did she need to go to a four-year college plus extra 2 years to get her master's? And then if you get your doctorate and you're a teacher, you're even going to make more and more money. I have coaches in the school district that I live in here in Chicago. And I'll just say it. The health teacher makes over $100,000 because of they're a teacher in Illinois and they have their doctorate in phys ed. So I get what you're saying, but a lot of times with the teachers being $80,000 in debt, I get it. My daughter was in teaching and now she's in, took another course, another path on that. But what I don't like, Coach, and you can explain it to me, please reference where I'm lying. I didn't lie anywhere. I said in here there's cuts. There's cuts everywhere. So is it going to hurt some people? Absolutely. Are a lot of people that don't need it, maybe? Another piece is the explanation is, you know, how do we have over 100,000 people that are age 100 or more getting Social Security? You kind of scratch your head and say, well, that can't be right. So when they dive into it to try to figure out where's the fraud, waste, and abuse, the way they're represented in the media is, you know, they're diving into all your personal data and so forth. Well, okay, go ahead and audit the thing. I mean, if there's 100,000 people that are supposed to be 150 years and older, I would hope you dig into it if you're spending, you know, $100 million a year on it. So I'll leave it at that. All right, let's get back to the next question that we got is, I'm late to the party. I'll have to play back. You might have missed some things, but I'm going to keep continuing because I got a lot more to go through with you guys on why the next piece of this we're going to go over is why rates aren't going to get to 6%, why they're not going to be at 5.5% anytime soon. And a lot of people at the beginning of the year, especially Barry Habib, who is a legend in the mortgage business, he said, you know, we're probably going to see 5.5% rates in the next, you know, 60 to 90 days. And I was like, this was in January, and I'm like, I don't see that one coming, but I sure hope I'm wrong. But so far, I haven't been wrong. I actually been a little bit wrong because I've been saying rates would be between 6.75% and 7%, and we peaked over 7% today. So that's unfortunately I was wrong there. But a lot of this stuff is crazy. Okay. I don't know what you're saying there, Brandon. Question, how soon can you refinance after you close on a house? Can I refinance for free? Well, it depends on what kind of loan you have. If you have a conventional loan, you can refinance immediately. I have two people I'm working on right now that we're working with builders. I said this. So here, I'll give you a little bit of tidbits out there. So this section is for if you're working with a builder, take all your credits and pay all your closing costs. Okay, that's what I want you to do. Then I want you to do a 2-1 or a temporary buy down, because right when you close. I talked to a young man today. I could get him a 7% rate. His lender, the preferred lender, was giving him 7.375. So he's doing a 2-1 buy down. He's, as soon as he closes next week, he's going to call me. We're going to use that buy down because there's $11,000 in his buy down like escrow account. When I refinance his loan, that $11,000 is going to be a principal reduction to his current loan. So it'll drop that loan amount $11,000 immediately. For the free refinance, those are tough. It depends on what type of loan you have, if we need an appraisal or not. But usually with us, there is really no fees. We charge you a credit report fee. If you need an appraisal, the appraisal is done. And title costs, that's usually what the fees are. The lion's share of the costs come when it comes to your title fees. But just so you guys know, when you're refinancing your mortgage, that cost is a fraction of what it is when you bought it. So like in Illinois, if I bought a house here for $350, I'd say the tax or the title fees would probably be about $5,000-$6,000. If I look to refinance, I can get them done at $995. So that's what we do on our refinances here, and it works out pretty well. So I don't think you can get a free refinance, but I can sure cut a lot of costs for you. So reach out to me. If you have a government loan, FHA, VA, or USDA, you usually have a 6-month or a 1-year time frame before you can really refinance. So would love to help you on any of those if you're looking for some help, folks. All right, Brandon, or SP, we got you on there. How soon? Let's get to the next one. What guidelines do you have for finances if I'm interested in finding a builder and buying raw? We get this question we probably get this question every day. I don't want to hear. Well, here's what I say. I always refer people, just call a community bank in your area. That's usually why they're there, is to help that community. It's really hard to finance land and then get a builder and build on it and everything else. And don't be surprised if you go to buy that land if you don't have to put down like 50% for that land loan. So don't be surprised if that's it. But I can't help you out with that piece of it. I don't deal with land loans or construction loans. So, but I appreciate you being here. I'm working with a builder. Funny you said that. So if you guys want to click together, you're more than welcome to talk through this. If I see you talking in this, I just skip over you guys. But SP and Brandon, if you want to talk, you're more than welcome to chat in here. Could high rates and refinancing pressure force the Fed to cut rates to avoid a crisis? If small businesses start laying off, that's what the expectations are. There's some plan in place because the administration, I know you guys think I'm in love with the administration. I like what they're doing. I didn't like what the other administration was doing. Believe it or not, I was a Bernie Sanders fan years and years ago before he just went crazy. And people say I lie on here. I mean, these guys are politicians out there talking how poor they are, and then they got $5 million homes and they're worth multi-million dollars and all this other stuff. And they don't want us digging in on any of their news to find out if they're doing anything wrong. So that's the stuff that really pisses me off. But you're right on the button. That's why I keep saying you have to watch the job numbers, because if you see the jobs numbers starting to crash, this is what's going to happen. I think the media is blowing this shit out of proportion, folks, and that's how they get you. They it's shock and awe. It's just like me putting up the thumbnail. I get if I put out a real nasty thumbnail sometimes, I know it's clickbait, and I'll get a bunch of grief. Hey, it's clickbait. I know, but you clicked it. Okay, so that's what the media is doing. It's like the crash people. They've been saying that the house market's been going to crash for 4 or 5 years. Now the market's starting to soften, and now they're like, oh, it's going to be as bad as 2008. We've been saying that for 4 years. So that's my concern on that side of the equation. I just want you guys to be provided just accurate information. I try not to skew it, and that's why I try to use AI just to show you. Here's what I'm talking about. And I plugged in the data. Okay, so now let's get over to where rates are going to go. Are rates going to get to 4.5%, 5% anytime soon on mortgage rates? Nope. The reason being is right here. Okay, so right what you're seeing on the screen now is what the Federal Reserve watches. So they control this number right here. Okay, that's the number they control. But they monitor these things right through here. Okay, the PCE, this is the number one piece, the inflation data that the Federal Reserve monitors. It's actually been ticking down. We're at a 2.3 right now. So this is where they wanted it to. We're pretty darn close to that. And some of the energy numbers and housing data coming in is going to push this below 2. So the tariff news is going to be huge. The unemployment rate, this is where they're really concerned right now. They're saying this could tick up to 4.5%. maybe 5%. If that happens, you will see the Fed cut rates. Okay, the GDP fell off a cliff. So what's freaking everybody out now is they're saying, okay, GDP just went negative, and we have this huge deficit. Oh my God, it's going to create stagflation. It's going to create all these issues. I've been saying that for years, folks, and that's why I've been adamant. Go back in my videos 2 years ago. I've been complaining about student loan forgiveness, okay, costing $4 trillion or something like that. It's not I don't like students. I have 3 kids of my own. I put them all through school. It's just saying I don't want to pay for them. I don't think we should add that to the national debt because it's not fair to everybody. Okay, so that's my point there. So here's what we're seeing. The federal funds rate is 4.25 to 4.5. All right, now here's where we're getting juicy. Here's the government rates. Okay, these are bonds with 0% default. Zero. Okay, so an investor can come in and say, oh, I'll buy a 3-month treasury and I'll get a 4.34 yield on it. Remember when our savings accounts 3-4 years ago would pay you like 0.01? Well, now they're paying 4%. So this is a part of that equation. So again, if you, I get it where inflation's going up, rates are going up and everything else, but if you had savings account 2-3 years ago, you're getting, again, probably maybe 0.25% in rate. Now you can put it into a 3-month government bond and get 4%. Okay, so let's scroll down to the 30-year treasury. It's at 5.09% yield right now. Okay, so if you could buy, if you're an investor and you had $1 bazillion to buy, would you buy, and you wanted a pretty secure investment, would you buy a mortgage bond or a treasury? With 0% chance of default, you'd buy a treasury. Okay, so now to buy that bond, how much extra in yield would you need for that risk? Well, that's the problem. Okay, so here's how history has played out. The 10-year treasury right through here, yield 4.25. That's the coupon, 4.25. Okay, what normally happened in history is you could take the 10-year treasury, you can add 1.75 to it, and that would be mortgage rates. So you'd be 4.25, 1.75, that'd be 6% interest rate. Okay, well, we go over to interest rates and they're 7% today. That's the risk premium. That's how freaked out the market is on all this stuff. So that's what's happening behind the scenes. So until this starts to come down, nothing's really going to happen on the mortgage side of the equation. But we also need the Federal Reserve, who controls a lot of this front end, to cut rates. Now, they don't directly control these rates, but they have an indirect correlation with these on what the federal funds rate is. So that's why President Trump keeps coming in saying, you know, you need to cut these rates because we need to bring down the short end of the stick to bring down the long end of the stick to make everything work. And that the Federal Reserve is saying, well, you have a tariff policy in place that you have question marks all over the place, plus a new tax bill we don't know what's going to do. What do you want us to do? So I get both pieces of this puzzle. Do you cut rates because inflation's coming down, but there's things on the horizon that are inflationary? I don't know. So that's the dilemma we have. But what I want you guys to know and get is the truth behind all this stuff. So that's really kind of what's happening behind the scenes there. So what's the Federal Reserve going to do at the next couple meetings? You can go to the CME Fed Watch tool, scroll down, and you can see they're not going to do anything. We have a 94% chance they're not going to cut rates at the June meeting. We have a 71% chance they're not going to cut rates at the next meeting. But all this can change on a dime if the tariff news comes in better than expected, or inflation comes down better than expected, or we don't have a massive job layoff. So there's question marks all over the place. But I always try to look at this as saying, okay, how bad can it be, and give you the realistic thoughts behind all this. On a side note, I just have some houses come on the market in my area. They're selling it higher than they're listing at. So my market's doing well. Some markets, I was just down in Florida, the local market I have down there isn't doing too bad. But then if you start looking at some areas on the Tampa side, Jacksonville, they're having issues. I talked to Rick Mahomes out in Arizona. The inventory out there and prices are starting to ease out in there. But there's still many, many, many parts of this country that are seeing great opportunities for people out there. So let's get to some more of the questions that you have for me. Let's see what we got. We got Alfredo. how would I go about having the seller to pay for a rate buy down? It's easy. You don't ask them for the rate down buy down. You just ask your realtor. And I talk to everybody I pre-qualify. I advise them this. I said, here's what most likely is going to be your closing costs, because we have tools, AI tools built in our system that kind of can predict what your costs are going to be. So we come back and say, okay, you have enough for the down payment, but here's your closing costs, here's your title fees and things like that. If you want the seller to pick up those fees or any other costs that you have, write it into the contract. I can almost assure you probably 80% of our contracts are coming in with at least five, maybe $7,000 or $8,000 in seller credits back. You can use that for a 2-1 buy down, or you can even use that to pay all your closing costs. I would suggest paying all your closing costs first, using any extra money for that temporary buy down. And the reason being is you can refinance at a lower rate than most of these people are offering you right now. You know, I got somebody, like I said yesterday, 7.375. I was actually at 6.999. And they were also charging them a bunch of money because it was the preferred builder, but they were getting 20 grand. So they end up using 9,000 for costs, and that all the point buy, you know, as much junk fees as the lender had in there. And then they ended up having 9,000 left over. So when we refinance them, that 9,000 is going to get credited right off of their payoff. So they're all just automatically going to get 9,000 additional in equity on that because of that transaction. Confused? Reach out to me after this. I'd love to talk to anybody out there. Next question we might have, we just locked in at 5.6 arm at 6.75. Hopefully we'll be able to refinance something better in the same time. Yep, keep in touch. I also have, if you guys are interested, anybody out there that owns a house right now, go to my website, the rate update, right down through here, Rate Watch. If you own a house right now and you want me to watch rates for you to get that sweet spot, just click this button right here and it'll take you to a form where you can go in and put in your information. There's several videos here. I don't know if you guys realize, I got 3,000 videos and more on YouTube. I've been doing this for a long, long time. So I greatly appreciate you guys visiting me here. So let's get to some more questions that you guys have out there. That might have been the last question. Okay, so let's get over to the rest of this piece of the puzzle that we want to talk about. United States, we went through the government bond section through there. We went through the CME FedWatch tool saying what the Federal Reserve is going to do at the next thing. And then let's get over to the last piece of this puzzle. So the mortgage, the markets are, they're dismal today. The Dow Jones is down 800 points, S&P down 95, NASDAQ down 270. VIX is up 15% to 20. But the big culprit right now is bonds. Bonds are getting hammered right now. We got the 10-year Treasury over 4.6. This was 4.3 not too long ago. The one benefit factor of a lot of this stuff, right through here, Bitcoin. If you guys follow my stock talk, we do own Bitcoin, and it is up to 108,000. When we bought this initially in our position on Yahoo Finance, we were at about $60,000. So if you guys watch me, my stock talk, well, if you don't watch me, let's go over to it real quick before we end this session. So I'm going to go over to Yahoo Finance, and we actually made a portfolio not too long ago, because my whole goal, folks, is I want you to understand the markets. Yes, I am a mortgage guy. I'll tell you who I am and what I do. I'm actually a federally licensed mortgage loan officer. I work at a federal bank. That's what I do. But the unique thing about this federal bank is we're set up with 33 other lenders. So if you're out there looking to buy or refinance, your hopes are, I want to find that lender that can give me the best program and the best rates and fees. Well, I can help you find that. Because if you don't use our services, what we do here is, if you go to theRateUpdate.com, we shop your loan, or I have access to 34 lenders. So when I get your application in, I pull your credit, we do all this stuff we need to do, and then what I do is I upload it into a system, and it's going to show me rates from all 34 lenders in real time. And I can lock you in there. Here's what happens is, what a lot of people don't realize. Let's say you lock in, you're not closing for 45 days or 60 days or so, and rates plummet. Well, if you're locked in at the bank or credit union, you're stuck. You're going to call them up and say, hey, rates plummeted. What can I do? They're going to say, nothing. You can buy down the rate, but you're locked in. That's what they're going to do. With us, because we have 34 lenders that we work with, we lock in at one. We still have 33 different places we can keep shopping you with. So if rates drop over 0.25%, be more than happy to move you to that different bank or lender to make sure we capture that lower rate. So not only at the beginning, hopefully we can have that best rate for you at the start, we can also maneuver you along through the path as you're navigating until you go out there and close. So that's what we're seeing right now. Here's where mortgage rates are finishing for the day. Let's go back to this. So the mortgage bond, I thought they would end at between 7.05 and 7.1. They were right in the middle of that. It came in at 7.08, up 9 ticks today. So if you got a quote, just so you guys know, if you got a quote from a lender recently, I would highly suggest you call them back, because I get phone calls all the time. They're like, Dan, I got a quote. It's 6.75 right now. Can you beat it? And I'm like, well, when did you get it? Last week? Okay. Did you get in a recent quote? Nope. And I said, how much are the fees? I don't know. Didn't get anything from it. I just got the rate. Please, you're doing the wrong thing. You need to get all the details. That's where I can help you out. Okay, so go to therateupdate.com. But here's what we're looking at in regards to rates today. Mortgage rates on general are up 9 basis points. Just so you guys know, what are these rates? Are these my rates at my bank? Who creates these rates? Well, Mortgage News Daily, right up through here, they do a phenomenal job. What they do is they survey lenders all over the country. They ask them 5 questions. 5 questions are important. They're, are you buying this house? You know, are you buying your first house? Is it going to be your primary home? Is it a single family home? You know, you might be yes, yes, yes. And you might be like, that's me too. Well, these people also have this. So let's learn a little bit more about the survey, because I always say don't judge a book by its cover. These people are putting down 25% because they're getting a loan at 75%. And they have a 780 credit score. Okay, so that if that's you, most likely that's what your rate's going to be. If your score's lower, rate's probably going to be higher. If your down payment's lower, your rate's going to be higher. So that's mostly what happens. So this is probably the cherry spot when it comes to mortgage rates, 7.08. So if you're out there and you need some assistance when you're looking for that mortgage, I'd love to help you. Let's see if we got any more questions down here. One more out here. Let's see, how many times can you refinance your home? That is a great question. This is one that a lot of people don't realize. I refinance 1 year 3 times. So there is no amount of times that you're limited to. It just has to make sense. So what we do is we do a breakdown. I go over what the costs and fees are for you with the break-even point, because I can't do a loan. Believe it or not, it's against our banking laws for me to do a loan with no benefit. There has to be a net tangible benefit every time we do a loan for somebody. So we have to explain it in the program when we're working on it. If you're buying a house, well, it's buying a house. If you're looking to refinance, there has to be a reason for it. Normally, the rate has to go down at least 0.25%. You have to be saving some money or moving from an adjustable rate to a fixed rate. They deem that is a better loan for you. It's less risky. So it's things like that. But that's a great question. And what you want to focus in on is the costs when it comes down to the refinance. Because if you can break even, you know, 6-8 months, maybe sometimes, you know, 10-12 months, you know, it might benefit you to refinance again in the future and again, but it has to make sense. So that's that for that. So hopefully that does it for us for today. If you need any help with this, let's go back to our portfolio. I hope I didn't lose half of you guys when we went through this. We're going to go to my portfolio. I created the rate update portfolio. We probably got hammered today because of what's going on. But let's see what our Bitcoin position has done. Let's get over to it. I got probably about 15 apps running at the top. So let's see what's happened today. So right through here, daily unrealized gains. For some reason, Bitcoin down through here. Bitcoin is up 3% for me on the day, but our portfolio overall didn't look fairly well. We added a new position, an AI position, in last week. It's not doing very well. It's down 2.4%. We're going to see how these go over time. So I'll be back tomorrow with Stock Talk Thursday to explain to you guys what positions we're in, where I expect the stock market to go from here, and what investment ideas might be out there with the tariffs and inflation as high as it is today. So that's my report for today, folks. If you need some assistance when it comes to a mortgage, I'd love to help you. Like I said, my name is Dan Frio. I'm a federally licensed loan officer. I work at a federal bank, and I'm licensed in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico. And our slogan is one application, one credit pool. We'll shop your loan to over 30 different lenders. Love to work with you. That's my report for today, folks. So thanks for watching. If you got any questions, leave them down below. I'll try to answer. If you need some assistance from me directly, all I need you to do is go. You can email me right through, and I'll put up my email address here for you in a second. My email is right down through there. So if you need any assistance, please feel free to email me or give us a call at the 800 number that we have. So thanks for watching, guys. God bless. Have a fantastic evening. I got to run because I got to do the